Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, April 27th, 2026.
I'd like to welcome everyone this evening. The April 27th, 2026 meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Here.
Commissioner Langford?
Here.
Joanne Nizelli?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Tucko?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Jessica Spilly?
Here.
John Van Dyne?
Here.
Absent is Tim Coop.
At this time, I'd like to have is there anyone who wishes to make amendments or corrections to the March 11th meeting minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second, please?
Motion.
For adoption?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes carry.
Abstain.
We have Greer Gaskell abstained, and who else abstained?
Commissioner Langford.
Commissioner Langford.
Yeah, if you weren't here at that meeting, we'll mark you as an abstention. Abstention.
Okay, this evening we have one, two, three, four. We have five resolutions to adopt this evening. They are P 2028, P 10, 2026, that's a correction, P10 2026, P11 2026, P12 2026, and P13 2026. Are there any amendments or corrections to said motions or resolutions? Hearing none, may I have a motion for adoption, please? And a second.
Make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Wasn't here.
Okay. We'll pick up the you have an abstention?
Yeah, I
have an abstention. And also Commissioner Langford. The ayes have it. Those resolutions are hereby adopted. Let's see, this evening, the applications list is somewhat, the list is been amended a bit. 6901 will go first, that's Winchester Avenue, and then 29 Oakland Avenue will go second, and then 111 South Frankfort will go third. So that'll be the order of events this evening. At this time, we'll begin with our applications and with the Mr. Randy Alvaro, is it? 6901 Winchester Avenue.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Michael Lario. I'm an attorney at the firm of Nemad Davis and Goldstein. I'm here this evening on behalf of Samuel and Randy Alvarado. This application concerns property 6901 Winchester Avenue. It's block 180, lot 1. It is currently, the site itself is currently improved with a two-family residence that was constructed sometime approximately around 1948. The application was originally submitted to this board, sought a certificate of nonconformity and bulk variance relief in connection with the construction of a new two-family flood-compliant residence at the subject site. From when that application was submitted into tonight's hearing, we were informed by the board secretary that actually back in 1998, the applicant's predecessor in interest obtained a certificate of nonconformity. So there is a certificate of nonconformity for this site. I have copies that I can pass around. I know I've provided a copy to Mr. McLaren before the meeting.
Do you have a certificate of non-conformity for the site?
We do, yes. Yep. So the testimony this evening will really just be on the necessary bulk variance relief in connection with the two-family dwelling proposed at the subject site. The variance relief we are seeking is for minimum lot size, minimum lot width, the setback to the proposed garage, and the curb cut. With me, I have Andrew Bechtold, the applicant's architect, and I have Samuel Alvarado, the client. Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you'd like to have both sworn in.
Yes.
Now, okay.
Anybody who's going to speak has to be sworn in.
All right, Mr. Bechtold and Mr. Alvarado, just give us your name and address for the record or business address, and I'll swear the two of you in.
Samuel Alvarado currently resides at 80 Hendricks Isle in Fort Lauderdale, apartment 402, in Florida.
And Mr.
Andrew Bechtold, 599 Shore Road, Summers Point, New Jersey.
I think you need to please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Bechtold, you're a licensed architect?
And planner, yes, sir.
And planner. Let the record reflect that his credentials are acceptable and he's here to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bechtold, I'm going to start with you. You've been sworn in and qualified. If you could you start with existing conditions on site to describe what's out there right now?
The existing structure, you'll see on page ZB1. Can you pick up for a minute?
I can hear you.
The existing structure is at the corner of Newark and Winchester. Is a two-unit building currently. It has a detached garage that allows one off-street parking space. It does not have the required setback to the garage to have a second parking space. And the existing coverage, lot coverage, and building coverage are actually larger than what we're proposing. It's an older structure. It would need to be lifted, it would need to be updated. The owners have owned this for quite a while, and they're looking to basically build a new two-family structure.
Okay, and there's an existing non-conformity for Winchester Avenue to that existing porch deck, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So the proposal is to demolish that two-unit structure and build a new two-family residence at the subject site. Can you describe a little bit as to that proposed two-family residence?
Yes. So, keeping to the existing conditions, we're going to be pulling all of the parking off of the secondary street as to not have any issues onto the primary street with any backing up the parking. We believe that asking for the variance to actually have secured off-street parking is a good idea to also hide the cars from passersby, et cetera. So we're asking for a variance for the setback.
May I stop you for a second, please? Could you explain to the board and the public exactly, are you replacing the structure? You're building it, you're knocking it down and building it?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. That wasn't exactly explained in your, when you were coming through.
All site improvements will be demolished as part of the application.
Everything will be demolished.
And it's not FEMA compliant.
Correct. The existing structure is not FEMA compliant. The proposed structure will meet all base flood elevation requirements in your ordinance and what FEMA requires for the site.
It will be FEMA compliant. The new structure will be FEMA compliant.
That's correct. Yes.
Then we propose to build the additional 2.5 stories above the garage space, which will consist of each side will have 3 bedrooms. That's bathrooms living on the first level with a deck that is permitted off the first level.
Okay. And the parking, I know you mentioned the parking will be off Winchester. The parking meets the requirements for a 3-bedroom house,
yes,
correct?
Each unit will have 2 off-street parking spaces.
Okay. Can you describe a little bit as to the design of the building itself, the materials, the architectural design to the board?
The building is a contemporary structure. We plan on using a mix of materials to soften the size of the structure. We have multiple materials that we're going to be using on the building. We have stainless steel metal roof, horizontal siding, we have vertical siding, we have cable rail, we have solid rail. So we're going to use the differentiation of materials, the glass, to kind of break up the structure as much as seemed possible. But again, we're trying to create a totally conforming based on setbacks and coverages. Again, we're less building coverage and less lot coverage with this proposed structure. And there are no variances for the setbacks for the building proper, only to the garage door.
So those existing non-conformities relating to the setback on Winchester, the lot coverage, the building coverage, and the parking are all going away?
That is correct.
Okay. Let's talk about the landscaping plan. Can you describe a little bit as to the proposed landscaping on site?
Yes, so currently, as per the compliance report, there is a tree along Winchester Avenue, which we'll do our absolute best to save. And then we're proposing two other street trees along Newark Avenue, and then we will have the necessary shrubbery as per the ordinance. We'll have some around 50 different shrubs that will be surrounding the entire property. That will be visible. We'll have grass. It'll actually be a bit more grass than what you currently see on the existing existing site. But we will have all the proper landscaping as per ordinance.
And there's currently, I think you said, one street tree. The proposal will have a total of three.
Yes, a total of three.
Okay. So let's talk about the variance that are required as part of this proposed development. The first one, lot area. Can you speak to the lot area variance?
There's no additional land for sale. And therefore, we're growing, I believe, by 9 square feet for a duplex. Unfortunately, we're just under, but
okay. And that's and that is because this is a proposed two-family structure. We are 9 square feet short of what the ordinance requires.
Absolutely.
If this was a duplex, we would actually meet the minimum lot area requirements within this zone.
That is correct.
Okay. We're also seeking a variance for lot width. Can you speak to that?
Yes. Again, this is a classic C1 hardship. We do not have the width. We're at 38 feet wide. We have to be 50.
Okay. And again, duplex. Duplex would meet the requirement. The two-family, we are 12 feet short.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. We're also seeking a variance for the setback to the garage door. I know you mentioned some of the justification for that to enclose that area. Can you describe where that variance is triggered?
Again, the ordinance clearly states that you have to be 18 feet away back from the property line to the garage doors. Just want to make sure I'm properly saying that. Yes. And we are, 19 feet. We're 10 foot 1 inch. Again, we have the proper size space inside the garage. We believe screening the vehicles from public view makes a lot of sense. Securing vehicles just for securing vehicles makes a lot of sense. And again, it's very similar to what the condition is existing on a lot where the garage is in the back, that again is not back to 19 feet from the property.
Okay. And one of the concerns can be using that garage for not just for parking. The applicant's willing to agree to enter into a non-conversion agreement, stipulating that will only be used for parking vehicles, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. There's also a variance for the curb cut.
Yes, we propose 2 10-foot wide curb cuts. 9 foot is what is required by ordinance, or the maximum size by ordinance. Mr. McClain mentioned in his report, he thinks it should actually be 12, which we have absolutely no problem with doing. It's really not going to affect the on-street parking much at all by increasing the size of the curb cut, because that parking is, there is that parking there to begin with because of the curb cuts. We're more than happy to comply with Mr. McClain's report and do the 12 feet. But again, we figured having a little bit more space to not swing in, obviously Mr. McClain agrees, having even more space, we better swing into those parking spaces.
Okay. Now the variances, those are the four variances that are required. Mm-hmm. Can you speak first to the positive criteria for those variances? Do you believe it's been met in this situation?
Absolutely. We're securing the building from fire and flood. We're actually decreasing all the coverages. We're creating a zoning compliant building as far as all the setbacks required for the building proper, not say the garage. We believe we're actually going to be increasing the layer of space because, again, we're reducing the size of the structure. There's a deck that wraps around this, and the building is brought in 5 feet on three sides, and aesthetic benefit to the city as well. Not that we don't love the cottage that's there, it's just unfortunate that the cottage is very hard to keep because, again, we have to get it out of flood, it has to be severely renovated. It is also kind of lending to the fact that the house directly across the street is more of that contemporary style. There's other contemporary homes that are being built in Ventnor. So we believe it's also an aesthetic benefit.
And that's under the C2 criteria.
Yes.
There is an argument under the C1 here. Obviously, this is a corner lot, so that presents certain practical hardships in developing this site.
And again, it's undersized, so that's another reason why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. From a negative criteria standpoint, do you believe there's any substantial detriment with this proposed plan?
No. Again, there's an existing two-unit building here. We're proposing a two-unit building here. we're reducing building coverage, we're increasing parking, we're actually adding to the vegetation, the landscaping also around the structure.
And I know, I think you mentioned it, but Mr. McLaren's report, other than those items we've talked about, we have no problem complying with all of his comments within that report.
Absolutely no issues at all.
Mr. Chairman, those are all the questions I have for Mr. Bechtold.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
The cartway width of the street, is it 26 or 30? Do you have that?
Well, Newark Avenue is technically 50 feet wide.
But that's the right of way. It's the right of way.
Right, the right of way, the cartway, we're about.
Well, they're 26s and 30s in the city.
It would be the narrow. It'd be about 26.
Okay, you know for sure, though.
Well, because this is a narrow street, and I know that
it's a narrow street.
It's a narrow street, and it's also got a fairly decent amount, because you have a decent government strip, a fairly wide sidewalk, and then a decent amount of space between the sidewalk and the property line. It's about 12 to 15 feet wide, probably each side.
That affects you with your curb return radius.
Correct, that would absolutely help to improve. Having a larger return radius would absolutely help. Or having a larger curb would help that. Yes, sir.
And just to confirm, increasing that curb cut, we're not going to lose any on-street parking spaces as part of that?
No, you're not, because again, it was breaking up that space anyway.
And how many cars does the building currently park?
One.
And proposed is four?
Yes. Sure, it's a three-car increase.
How many bedrooms exist in the existing unit, and how many bedrooms will exist in the new unit?
There's two bedrooms on the downstairs.
Just real quick, just introduce yourself. Just
Samuel Albright.
Yeah.
My wife, I've known the property. It's been a family for 5 years, and it was my mother-in-law's, and then.
Just count me. How many units are in the old building?
Two units, and there's two bedrooms downstairs and two bedrooms.
Say downstairs, is that ground level?
Yes, first floor.
First floor.
Two on the first floor and two on the.
So there's four units total?
No, four bedrooms total.
Four bedrooms total.
Six bedrooms.
Now, how many bedrooms will be in the new unit?
Six total.
Six bedrooms total.
Four to six, yeah.
Right, okay. And there'll be no units on the ground level?
None, the entire ground floor.
Just uninhabitable storage?
Not storage, garage parking and the entrance.
Okay.
Yes.
And what are you doing for storage for the building?
There is. There's a little bit of storage space actually underneath the stairs, and the garage is deep enough to have some shelving at the very back side of it. So when you have like coolers and beach chairs and that stuff, you can certainly be there. You have the depth in the garage to get it just enough. A little bit of storage in that side.
Bicycles and things like that.
Yeah, you can probably get a bike in there, depending on what power rack you use. You definitely get a bike under the stairs. But yes, that's how we have it set up.
Okay. Because storage is a critical issue in these beach, because the water's up outside. It's unsightly.
Absolutely, we would rather not have any storage outside at all. Yes. Again, you know, this is respecting all the setbacks we possibly could do on the building, so we didn't want to create any other issues for that and have to prevent all street parking.
Where is your HVAC located?
HVAC is going to be located on the first floor of the unit. We're going to have that elevated. The first officials and also Roger wants to make sure that any equipment is kept in that equipment and passed away, so that's going to be on the first floor, not on the ground, but on the first floor.
Are you using all the low decibel units? The low noise units now?
For the echoing, the interior HVAC units.
Exterior.
For the exterior, actually, our air compressors are all the way on the top floor on an exterior deck on that.
Right.
So that would be low decibel.
Are they the low noise units?
Typically, yes. And remember, this one's going to have to be, that's another environmental thing. This house will have 2x6 walls. So you're going to have bigger insulation, better R value, better insulated home, better energy efficiency. So the units won't take a lot of money. And I don't want that to be retrofitted with HVAC equipment.
Thank you.
Question?
Yes, sir.
Is it known that the original structure, when it was originally built, was it originally designed and built as a duplex, or was it converted over time?
So...
It was purchased as a duplex.
I know, is it known whether it was converted?
Yeah. All we have, and I think it was included with the application, is in, I think it was 71, there was an advertisement as a duplex, MLS listing advertising it to be rented as a duplex. So we know, at least going back to 71, it was a duplex. Our records before then, it's harder to determine whether or not it was a duplex. Originally built as a duplex or converted sometime between 48 and 71.
Board members, any questions of the applicant?
Yeah, I want to know if there's another way possible to maybe provide additional storage, because based on your current plan, you don't even have a place to store basically a single bike, and I guess I have concerns that basically one of those garage bays is going to end up being storage. I don't know if you can reduce or eliminate that wall between the foyer and the garage, or is there anything that can be done to give their storage this?
Well, there are definitely ways to get it done. For example, depending on how screened the storage can be, there's absolutely space on either side, adjacent to the elevators, where we could create a screened storage area that is not... I mean, Roger, I would rely on you with this one. If I did walls that went all the way to the ground, top, bottom, would that then be considered part of the building cover, or would that be considered storage that was only on the ground level?
You know, they're partially open, it can't be fully enclosed.
Well, again, if I'm back to the setback of the elevator, basically using these spaces over here and over here to create the storage area outside. Again, there is space underneath the stairs.
Well, right here you have.
But there could easily be spaces added here and here that we could leave this part on top.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
The foyers, you have right next to the elevator.
Well, unfortunately, that's the hall that takes you to the elevator. So that's the only, we actually put the doors on Newark Avenue. Now, we could certainly put the doors kind of facing the street.
There's no front doors on that, that's the back of the building.
And then the way you get to the stairs is you have to circulate down the hallway of the foyer, then go up towards the stair, you need to get in the elevator or get to the stair. So I don't really have a space per se to create the back of the foyer and kind of store.
It's not showing your print. These stairs aren't shown on your print.
The stairs are shown on the plan on sheet ZB2. On the left hand side, you'll see the stairs on the drawing that's all the way to the left at the upper corner of that, and then the lower corner over here on the left hand side. That's on page 2.
Roger, you want me to get you sworn in real quick? You swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening on the truth?
I do. But that would be another way. We could certainly create screen enclosures flanking either side of the building to create a space that would probably be 5 by 8, excuse me, 5 by 9, to give you at least another 45 square feet, which is a decent size shed space that you could use to store bikes and eventually use chairs and that as well.
Trash can.
Yeah, it's trash, exactly. I'm afraid that screen enclosure might give it an even more boxed in look.
Well, it would be underneath the deck anyway. And again, it will be recessed from the front and from the side by another 5 feet. So it wouldn't be out as far as the edge of the deck. It would actually be inside, so it would be recessed. It would be close to the deck, would be kind of in the foreground. This storage area would be actually in the background. And it also is an opportunity for the material to then kind of break out the mass of the structure. Mm-hmm. So that could be done in like even potential sheet planking or a different type of vinyl or something like that, where you're not seeing the contents of the storage room. And we leave it open at the top and bottom.
So you could take that as an opportunity, I think, like you said, to try to break up the visual design of it.
So, can you talk about the area where it says second floor building above? Is that enclosing that?
Yes, there, and then on this side.
Yes, so you would need the building setbacks in there.
So I can probably just enclose it all together and not create a storage area underneath it. I can actually make it part of the building too. So to be clear,
I'm sorry, on the last sheet. I thought it was on the other one. Right here, this space and this space, these two corners. I'll infill them and then use that as the storage, yes. Use that as the storage, kind of provide space for bikes, beach chairs, et cetera. I mean, use potential different material on that as well, even not getting infill it entirely. And that will give you the storage, or additional storage on that ground level.
In addition to that storage area that you called out in the garage as well?
Additionally, with the extra little space in that garage as well.
Yeah, because there's too much clutter in this building, and it's got too many trappings that people have in beach communities. They have to go somewhere.
Yeah, and we can certainly add that, that's not a problem. And it will change the building code, it won't change any of the metrics that we show on all star at all.
Yeah, I think we understand the concern, and we're trying to add additional areas on the plan.
Roger on this one. And the board should defer to Roger on this.
Roger, you're off to go.
Your opinion on this?
I think it's a perfect idea. Scheme to include the various for bikes. You know, maybe partially screen a little bit on the outside. Maybe the deck for trash cans. Looks like you're gonna screen that whole area with landscaping, which would be nice.
Yes.
Again, I think what the board's position is, they don't wanna see that second garage space turned into storage instead of parking.
Understood, and that would, this would help alleviate that concern, I hope.
Which is why I advocated for a little bit wider of a curb cut, so I don't want one of those garage spaces to be unusable because you can't get to it.
Yeah, that, I have, how that parking access is laid out is extremely odd to me. The driveways are, the aprons are reversed. They're getting narrow towards the street instead of wider.
Yeah.
Right?
That's correct, because of the requirement for curb compression for.
Not getting space in between those two driveways.
Correct.
Not getting a parking space.
Correct. That's why we're more than happy to make it off a wide drive as well.
Is it worth doing a full curb cut there, Roger?
I think it is.
I mean, that's a narrow street. That would solve one of my concerns that I have, allow us to get better access.
Yeah.
I think the building looks like. Here you go. It looks like a commercial building.
Well, again, it's that.
It is a very contemporary property, but there's no other structures that I've seen in this neighborhood, neighbor city, that look like this.
Have a lot of mass, yeah.
Very, well, smaller than the footprint's smaller.
Yep.
And I get that, but it's just looking at that, if that was colorized, maybe I could see it different. But to me, that looks like a box, a cinder box. It just looks like a cinder block that's gonna sit on that corner. And it just doesn't appear, again, we don't have architectural design criteria here. I'm telling you my feelings. We're asking for a variance for something. It just looks like a commercial building in the middle of a residential neighborhood. And I get contemporary design, I get it, you have them up on the boardwalk. Told those folks, I didn't care for that either, they're spending their money to build it, I get it. But this one's asking for relief. The parking, I think we can fix with a full curb cut. You know, that's something we should really look at, I'll recommend it. Update that, probably part of the ordinance update in the master plan, but. Just, it's such a long building, along that small street, it's gonna look really.
And I think what's interesting here, and this is what I talked about a little bit, is the two family duplex difference in your ordinance, that if this was a duplex, we would be able to put forward a conforming structure here without it needing any variances. So it could look the same. With that being said though, I do think there are ways, Andy, that we can, I know you spoke some of the materials, there are ways we can try to further soften this as well.
Well, and again, the
other thing, something.
Well, but here's the other thing. Again, this is two dimensions. You don't see the undulation in this, but the first floor comes out 5 feet, the second floor comes back, further on the top floor, it comes back even further.
That helps.
The building erodes as it ascends, so as you go up in height.
We're better, let's not use the word erode.
The building is not getting decreased in size as it becomes, so it isn't just this kind of monolithic block that's along the street. It actually is, it is undulating, not only because of the deck, but also so, for example, on the first level, the deck is larger and wraps around and is deeper on the street sides and the rear side. Then on the next level, it actually comes out over to cover. So there is an undulation. And when I was here last time, there was a very simple prefab box that was thrown here, and there was discussion of phase and this and that and the other. This is actually doing it. You just don't have a rendering showing it that way. But there are pieces that come out, push back. There is movement in the structure. It's just not what you would typically see, that you typically see as the cottagey shoretown what they built. This is a more forward progressive structure than the standard classic coastal cottage.
I also think you don't have any modulation either on Newark. I understand that that deck does project out, but you're still, it's still just one flat plane across.
Well, I disagree, because again, the plane of the deck is out 5 more feet, then the master building is in 4, and then in the corners, again, it recesses back. Then at the top of the structure, the whole entire third floor is recessed back an additional five feet as well. So the building is actually stepping back as it ascends. So there is articulation, undulation.
Yes, but I wouldn't necessarily consider that modulation, as in having offsets where there's a break in that wall, in that one plane.
There's a break in this plane with the roof that slopes back, and a break in this plane where the roof slopes back.
Steps back, yeah.
Correct. There's a break in this plane where the wall is shifted back. There is undulation and structure.
But to her point, in two stories, it is a flat wall of windows, correct? From the second, from the first floor to the second floor. There is no modulation between.
It's undulation. I'm sorry. Modulation is like radio frequencies. Undulation is architecture.
Okay. Undulation, we'll call it that. So I think to her point, she and I don't want to speak for her, but my reaction is the same, is that not only is are those two floors not articulated, or what is the word you prefer?
Undulated.
In any way, they're a flat slab of windows that mimics the backside, which is, and the sides, which are a flat slab, which kind of, in my mind, makes it feel as though you're maxing out the lot and the airspace according to the zoning laws, and not to the architecture, not for an architectural reason. So, and the backside, for the neighbors that face the left side elevation, it creates an alleyway. Basically, it's a one vertical wall, correct?
That is a vertical wall, and then again, in the back, it is recessed back there on the back side for the back wall. Yes, that is flat, but that would be no different than the size of any structure there.
And I'll give you the Newark Avenue. There is, you know, you are setting it back, and there are similar homes that have been built with similar features, but this one in particular feels as though it's been designed by ordinance in some ways, and I don't mean that, I don't, you know, we're you know, you can take the criticism, but it has, and I think you did a good job of making it fit within the parameters, but it doesn't feel like that it fits the character of the block, in my opinion.
There's one other tactic that can be used in here. How many colors can you build? How many colors are you using in the building?
Well, we have multiple material that we use on the structure. So there's 1, 2, 3, potentially 4 colors used on the structure, not including the same scene that works up, the 5 different colors. And then again, red material, etc. So you're going to have different materials, different colors to actually break up the master. This isn't going to be just a white top with black windows, which I would argue is bad. You know, it's just flat.
Because sometimes with 3 colors, you add a 4th. As an accent color,
as an
accent, and then you put a flare line to it, and you break the structure with the flare line, or an eyebrow, so to speak.
Right. Well, again, on Winchester Avenue, there's this piece that acts as its own element that will be its own material. Then we have the deck, which is its own material, and then the recessive part is another material. So you're going to see 3 or 4 different colors, which will make the eye see the different building moving back and forth. That was our feeling of, so we're trying to use the texture and colors of asking for grants, and hey, can we put a bay window here? We're more than happy to pass a window, so we're using all those lines on the building, but again, we have to for grants too, so we want to try to keep this clean of applications.
Could you put your crayons to it and put some color on it for us?
Yeah, absolutely, color on it.
Yeah, that would be a figure, I think, with, you know, a good set of crayons to work on too nicely.
If you know, the board's familiar, right across from Yonam, Atlantic Avenue, they renovated a structure there, and it has one big flat wall with a bunch of casing windows in. And that's what this wall looks like. That's what that part of the structure looks like. And it's, you know, kind of rubs you the wrong way, because it's just, that's it. You got one plane, same size windows, they mix up with a bunch of colors. But there would be a way to try to detail those, that elevation with bay windows or, you know, whatever. I think it would help a lot with that one wall.
You're talking about the back wall?
Yeah.
Well, and again, here we have color,
yeah,
color, and then this was recessive back there.
And then,
and again, that was, I understand it's a neighbor's wall, but that would be no different than a straight up two family or duplex that would be on an interior lot where there's really not any articulation down either side of the structure. I mean, it's the front porch on the back. There's a rear deck, and that's straight up. I mean, any house in town, you'll see that. It says, and you might see a pitch roof on it, jump on those lines. That's the difference.
Any area to the left of that as well.
I'm sorry.
Any area to the left of that as well.
The left, yeah. Here on this side. Well, again, this planes out. That planes in, that planes in. Again, there's some movement in here. Perhaps a rendering would have been helpful for you again to see that the building isn't just a sale or a concern that it's just one model of there.
Of course.
Rectangle on it. It is not that.
Oh, really?
But again,
and I know there was a comment as this was designed for the ordinance, and to a certain extent that is true. I mean, obviously we've taken a structure that is non-conforming in many ways and brought it more into conformity with what your ordinance requires. I think from an architectural design standpoint, there are no architectural standards in the ordinance for this, so we're basing this upon other homes within this area in this design. I do think Mr. Bechtold's testimony is it is not the flat structure that it appears here. I think his testimony is the different elevations are going to extend out, come in, I think a total of how many colors?
At least 3 or 4 colors.
So this is something, there is going to be some visual activity here on this structure that I think is going to be consistent with some of the other contemporary homes that are immediately nearby this structure.
Okay. Further discussion with the board? If not, I'll open up to the public. Board, have any further discussion? At this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment? Hearing none, receiving no requests, I hereby close the public portion of this application.
So, Roger, you think like a 24-foot wide, 22-foot wide curb cut to give access to both of those garage doors is
each?
No, one hole, one big one.
Right, so you need that 24 feet. Then you're going to be the outside walls on either end are going to be squished in.
You're not parking in this building, not using space.
No, you're not. You go. I think 216 was where
I'm at. I think the only good thing about the small curb cut is it's going to force them to park in the garage and not park in the right of way.
What do you suggest on the curb cuts, Roger?
I'd like to see two 18s. Because that space in the middle is not usable.
Right. Take it out of the middle, not the end.
Well, you have to take some out of the ends because Newark Avenue is one way coming this way.
Right.
So you got to back out that way.
Yep. Okay.
So you want to favor the approach.
Yeah.
So I know there's been a lot of comments here this evening. Talking with the applicant, I think there was multiple requests made to try to see what this looks like with the color. And I think we'd, if the board's agreeable to it, we'd appreciate the opportunity to come back next month with a color rendering to show you exactly what this is going to look like. I think that will address many of the concerns I'm hearing as to the impact of this visually, what it's going to look like. I think it will also give us an opportunity to revise for the curb cut. We can show the storage space as well. Some of these open items we can address on a revised plan, come back and hopefully address and satisfy some of these concerns that I'm hearing.
That's what you'd like to do, though. I think the board would be very agreeable to that.
Okay. Yep.
And we're discussing we're figuring something out for the curb cuts now. Suggestion for you.
Yes, and I, if there's any board members that have any other questions or comments, obviously.
Is there any pitch to the roof? Any pitch on the roof?
It's a low, it's a very low pitch roof, yes. It's primarily flat, yes.
And I, Carmel, when's our next?
I'm sorry. And what I would say is, once the color rendering is in front of you, I think it's going to be very insistent about the ownership. I think the board is like moving something.
And the fortunate thing, at least from your perspective, we're back here in like 16 days, so it's like you don't have to wait a month, right?
Yep.
We can make an announcement, obviously, you won't have to re-notice. So. But if there's any further discussions, Roger can talk to maybe Mr. Beck.
At this time, when you contact Roger about the curb cuts, and then you guys will discuss that the best way to handle it, and then bring it back to the board.
All right.
So we're going to adjourn this.
There's no other comments. Again, just no.
No, that's it.
Okay.
Be it.
Okay.
So we're going to.
We appreciate you cooperating with the board, and then I hope you take the board's comments in heart. But
I think even any projections on this Newark Ave side is a way to provide some sort of undulation. Detail, projection, phase.
Make it
pretty. Come up with other terms.
Make it pretty.
Absolutely. And, thank you for including the storage and everything that you did. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, can you just confirm the date for that next meeting?
So just for the record, this application will be adjourned on May 13th, 2026, in this room, 6:30 p.m. The applicant will not be required to republish or re-notice to get any revisions in, get them to Carmella, and
What are they doing, Carmella?
May 13th.
No, the revisions, the submissions.
Try and get them in 10 days prior.
Yeah, that's 7. The packets go out 7 days before the meeting.
Okay, and again, we don't anticipate there to be too much changes from what's being proposed here, but we think it'll be renderings. It'll show it more clearly.
Yeah, we understand that.
Yep.
But just we have a time frame.
I understand.
Send it to the board and then get it out. And though there's no notice, it still has to be processed within the city.
Can the board concur that the CNC is accurate and
Yes.
Yes.
So, with the board, is any dispute at all? Can we concur that the CNC is in force and...
It's already been determined. It's not up to us.
Okay, it's determined, so it's not one of... CNC is not an issue.
Correct.
It's okay.
Yes.
So with that, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the board.
Thank you, Mr. Tom.
That was better.
Okay. Next application is... next application is that of 29 North Oakland. Are you involved with both applications?
I am.
Okay.
Wonderful day.
Back again?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Alexander, just give us your name and address for the record. I'll get you sworn in.
My name's Charles Alexander, 29 North Oakland Ave.
Okay, and then are you going to be speaking as well, sir?
Robert Smith, 8 Irma Drive, Egg Harbor Township.
All right, Mr. Smith, Mr. Alexander, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Alexander, could you tell us a little bit at the beginning what your case is about, and then proceed with your case itself?
Understood. So, yes, I'm Chuck Alexander. I live year-round at 29 North Oakland. It's my home. It's my residence. I'm proposing to do two things. A few years ago, you guys allowed me to rip off a little shed roof in the rear of my home and build a covered patio on there. It's our favorite space. We have beautiful water views there with the Atlantic City skyline in the back. We want to do pretty much the exact same thing on the front of the house, over top of the sunroom. We have a very old shed roof that's deteriorating. I'm going to have to fix it at some point. I would love to remove that roof, frame a fiberglass deck, and have about two-thirds of that deck covered. Anyway, that's the one variance I'm going for, because my home is 100 years old. So we're trying to fix it up, and you know, it's on a corner lot, so setbacks are very tight. We have two front yard setbacks to maintain. You know, I violate setbacks in every way, you know, with today's rules. So doing such a project does you know, encroach on those setbacks. The other reason I'm here is for a driveway. I'm hoping that we can add a driveway to the right-hand side of my property. I have enough space for a legitimate spot. For the 9x18, I actually have significantly more than that. However, again, for my house being so old, I violate my coverages, my lot coverages. I have a parking spot off of Winchester right now, a small driveway with a small detached garage that's not large enough to put a car into. It's me and my wife living in the house, and we have two vehicles, and we're trying to get another driveway. The one thing I did notice was from the other houses on the street, so over 50% of the houses on Oakland Ave on my block have 100% lot coverage. You know, over half of them. I'm actually the one house, there's only one house on my street that even if this variance is granted and I'm at 89% coverage, there's one other house on that street that has more landscape coverage than me. I'll still be the number two house on the street as far as landscape coverage. What else was my point? I was told this morning by Roger that by adding this second off-street parking spot, my three-bedroom home now becomes compliant with today's rules. Two spots for three bedrooms.
And I wanted to say something about landscape. I take my landscape very seriously. It hurts my soul to lose the mimosa tree on the right-hand side of my house, but October storm came and killed everything. My yard floods out, all my street trees died, all my crepe myrtles, the mimosa died, and even the two large trees, you know, on the street, on the next property, they took a real bad hit from that storm. So my street trees I have to replace with something more salt tolerant. And every piece of space I have available on my property will be used for landscape coverage. I love that look. And, you know, I even built the planters to get the trees off the ground a little bit, hoping that would save them, but that salt water is relentless. Oh, and then the new curb cut that I'm proposing on that driveway, we do maintain the required distance from the corner. The curb cut will eliminate one on-street parking spot, but it is, you know, it's beyond the triangle you have in the street to make that turn. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Would you consider trying to reduce your coverage a little bit by maybe doing parking strips and not a full driveway?
I would consider that. I'm asking, you know.
You also have a big concrete pad adjacent to the garage that maybe you could.
So in front of the driveway, in front of the proposed driveway, on the survey, you'll see a big, you know, white space. So I can maintain a large portion of that planter in that spot. The ribbons are a problem for me because when you park, now I'm getting out onto landscape coverage. I'm getting out on the grass or stone. I guess I could do stone. Vendor allows stone. For the 18-foot, I would prefer to do concrete, from at least the house in, as opposed to two ribbons.
Would you consider maybe that concrete that's between your one-story frame where you put the addition on last year and the masonry garage, maybe pulling that back as grass?
I would rather do ribbons, and I'll tell you why. Because the way my roof is designed, all the water flows down on four corners because I have that
weird purpose of adding grass to suck that water.
I know, but that concrete keeps it all away from the house and away from the garage. That concrete is all sloped and pitched to get it out onto the driveway and get it out onto Winchester. Yeah. And my barbecue grill is on that patio.
That's critical. I get that. I understand.
And we like to eat.
I think we got to find a way to get some of that coverage down, whether it's with the ribbons or we've even done those grass block pavers.
Listen, if you guys insist, I will consider the ribbons.
There's another way to do it is with a recharge base with rock buried underneath. In there, and then put the gutter into the rock in a basket that was surrounded with geotextiles, and then with an overflow, it comes out and it goes to the street. And that way, you have a recharge soil, and you get your coverage, and you get your, but the purpose is recharge.
I'd still rather see some grass out there.
Yeah, I think the water table's so high over there that everybody can eat.
How many square feet of grass do you have?
Even just the ribbons, I think, get them.
Yeah. All right, so, well, if we do the ribbons, if I maintain 3 foot from my property, from the whole right-hand side of the property line, 3 foot of landscape before the ribbon starts, that would add 24 plus 10, so 34 by 2, that would add 64 square foot.
Yeah.
Is that right? The math's right? You know, basically from that little brick wall at my property line, that fence, call it, 3 foot over before the driveway starts. I don't think that's indicated on the plan.
I that get it down to Roger to do some quick math?
Yeah, the plans show solid concrete the entire way. So I could certainly fit 2 foot along that side and 2 foot along the house side. I believe it's 13 foot from the edge of the house to the property line.
So SP1 is showing concrete from the property line, basically the curb line, all the way back to that concrete on the back.
SP2
is the proposed site. That's showing concrete almost everywhere. SP2. Yeah.
Yeah, so SP2 is showing the existing concrete in the rear of the house.
Why don't we stop all that concrete in the back there at the end of the parking space?
Okay, and currently the
neighbors already.
Well,
there's a little paver walkway.
Well, the entrance to your house is around the front, right?
Correct.
So I'm saying take out the, is there steps there?
There's another side door there.
So at the base of the steps, there's a small landing of pavers that lands us onto that back concrete patio.
You could narrow the width of that walkway planning in front of that paver, in front of that planter box to the rear.
Yeah, listen, I could maintain a 3 foot, say, from the landing to the driveway, just to have a walkway there, and then this way from the, you know, the back of the steps to, or you know, or the front of the steps, if you will, to the back of the driveway, that, you know, 10 foot or whatever it is, have a small strip there, so it's, you know, 2 foot of landscape against the house, 2 foot on the property line side. And then narrow that walkway from the landing to the back of the 9x18 parking spot. I can definitely squeeze out some more.
If your concern is stepping out of the car into the grass, then why not go right to the house and just leave a strip in the middle?
That's what I was going
to
say.
That's why they're on that side, to get out of the car.
Yeah, and then because underneath the car doesn't really affect them.
So then we could do a 6 foot wide ribbon on that left hand side. So yeah, from the house, right, you know, a couple of foot from the house, and then a 3 foot ribbon, 3 foot swath of grass. And then another 3 foot ribbon, that's per se.
I think that works better. Yeah. Get you out of the car. Yeah. On the car.
I'm fine with that.
That's what I envision.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And I keep the water away from the house too.
So ribbon.
There was a stone there.
I think on both, right?
Yeah.
Or just one.
And I think if you're in the landscaping and gardening, like you say you are, aesthetically, it's going to look better.
Yeah. It will look better. However, I'll probably put stone in the middle. Does it need to be grass? Because like I said, everything dies in this area. We flood out a lot. That's why you see river rock all around my property.
Yeah, that area dies.
So I can maintain a small, you know, a 1-2 river rock in that middle there. It maintains its permeability.
It doesn't use the covers because stone is still considered impervious, but I don't have an issue with it. I think that's because the grass is right.
It doesn't.
That flood, that's
going to
die.
Right. Plus, if he's parking on top of it.
Yeah.
See, the engine heat often kills the grass.
Yeah, that's
funny. If you put an engine and park it over grass, a lot of times the engine heat kills the grass. And that's
the landscape is kind of stone. Maybe even a small river rock kind of thing.
To match the rest of the yard, because like everything is river rock right now.
I think that would be amenable to me. Yeah. I think that looks nice.
Yeah, the river rock will be pretty good for his house.
You even talked about
gas. Yes. Most of the base.
Yeah. Okay. So, what was decided?
River rock.
River rock.
Okay.
Ribbon strips on both drivers.
How is it? We have to sketch out how these pavers are going to be. You want to do a sketch and get it?
Yes, I can get a sketch and get it to Roger.
Right.
They're going to be down the center of each driveway or just the one?
The one's existing already at the front of the garage.
Off of Winchester, yeah. I don't plan to touch any of that. So it would only be the additional driveway
that I'll do ribbons on either side. I mean, we could draw it out now and I'll agree to it. I mean, so we have that 3-foot swath of grass, or not grass, but river rock in between. So we have two ribbons, one from property line to inside of the ribbon, and then inside of the ribbon to the house. Correct? So we're gonna have like 2 5-foot sidewalks with that strip in the middle with river rock.
Right.
Okay.
And then as far as depth, we're gonna be 18-foot from the property line back to the end of those ribbons. Correct, Roger?
You mean what?
Yeah, 18-foot deep space.
Yes.
That's how long we're
from the property line.
18-foot speed. And then from the back of that, I'll have a small, I'll keep the pavers that are there, I'll just narrow them down to maintain a walkway to that landing, to those back steps. Does that sound adequate?
Yeah.
I can draw all this up and get it to Roger tomorrow, it's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, if you're opposed, it'll be in your resolution that you're gonna do this and you'll submit compliance plans to be approved by Roger.
Understood.
So you don't have to do it tomorrow.
The resolution won't be approved till our May 13th.
Till May 13th anyway, so.
Okay.
Yeah, a little time. I don't have any issue at all with the front porch. I think the back porch came out fantastic.
Yeah.
If you're gonna match that, I think that adds to the, it bookends the house. Keeping the old house, you serve what we like to see, so. That's, I think.
You did a nice job of that house, I still say.
It came out nice.
Thank you.
Every time I come by, I look at it. But you did a nice job with it from initially you came in. You kept your word on everything.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so, that's a good thing. You kept your word on everything you promised your board.
Except you added 4 bedrooms in there.
And the elevator too.
Not yet, maybe one day.
So, okay. Discussion on the, is everyone in agreement of approach the issue with the deck? You've seen it, you want any further discussion on it as a board, because you're gonna have to vote on it at this time. You know, I'm satisfied with the deck itself too. Lance made a good comment, and he's surveyed it well, if I surveyed it well. I mean, hope most of you have surveyed it well. And if now's the time to speak, or forever hold your peace.
I think the deck, that's a pretty big aesthetic improvement, so I have no objections to the deck.
So
the house is already there.
So at this time, Leo, I think you're up for a vote.
Technically, you got to go to the public.
I know, but I have to go to the public first. At this time, I'm going to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application?
I agree with it.
Could you state your name and be sworn, please? Okay. There is no one making comment before the board this evening from the public. Therefore, the public portion is now closed. There's no request for it as well. Are you complete in your presentation?
Yes, I am.
Now, you've read Roger's report, have you?
I have.
And you agree with it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is there anything you wish to add?
No.
Okay. And we'll deem you complete, and we're just going to bring the application for a vote.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's a C variance application. I'll summarize the variances, then we'll need a motion, a second, a roll call vote. There's the front yard setback to the porch/deck that he's adding along Winchester, 7 feet's the requirement. 3 feet's proposed, and along Newark Avenue, 7 feet's also the requirement, 1.67 feet is proposed. Lot coverage, 75 is permitted, and I believe he's at 88.7%, and this river rock he's doing, not gonna necessarily, doesn't change that number, correct, Roger? It's still gonna be at that number.
No, it would reduce it because it's perfect.
That counts? Okay. So, all right, so it's gonna be, you're going to be greater than what's existing now, which is 78.9, going to be somewhere between that and the 88.7 as it initially presented. One of the conditions will be that you'll put in this river rock strip as represented with the walkway. You'll submit a revised plan to Roger. He'll review at his discretion, and you can give him an updated calculation, Roger, of what that number is.
Right.
And then the final variance, and I went over that condition already, so I don't need to do that again. And the final condition is for the number of curb cuts. He's allowed the one, and he's now proposing two. There's one existing and the second one, which will give him 2 9-foot wide curb cuts. In terms of the conditions, we already mentioned the river rock one, and then pretty much just the standard conditions that we put in every resolution. Anything else from Mr. McLaren's report, any representations made, they'll comply with. If they need any outside approvals, they'll get those, and you know, they'll have to go through the building department for all their permits and things like that.
Are you complete?
I am.
Okay, at this time, we need a motion and a second, please. And a roll call vote.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay, to the board administrator, please call the roll. State your reasons, please.
Mayor Kriebel?
I vote in favor of this application. I think that sometimes these old houses didn't know what they needed, and I think the design itself, bookending it, as Commissioner Landgraf said, improves the design and improves the curb appeal. So I'm happy to see an old home getting a second life, and I appreciate the work you did to try to keep the coverage down. It's an important part of the unique restrictions we have. I know that block floods because I used to live as a kid in the fourplex across the street. It's a tough block, and I can see that you're working to improve it. So I would just encourage you to do that, and as it evolves, to try to keep adding as much impervious you can and landscaping that can survive. I vote yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
I also support the application. I think it's a good effort to work with the parking is needed. If you can add an extra space, work with us trying to get some permeable surface there. I like that. I think that adding that second deck is going to just really bounce this building. It's really going to pop now. I think just what you did with the backside, you came in, you did what you said you were going to do, the chairman said, and it's only an enhancement in my mind. Good luck with that. I vote yes.
Thank you.
Joe Iannuselli?
Okay, Cook? The property is in a flood-prone area, or selling. So landscaping is tough to keep going. So you're making the best of what you can do. And other properties are using the same river rock, everything else, so everybody's kind of keeping the theme going, and you're participating with it. The property itself, you had, you know, you say it's 100 years old, it's in the older part of the city, but you're maintaining it well, which is part of what is what we need as part of the master plan as well. And you're bringing it up to date or making it still, but it doesn't look out of place. It looks in place, and it looks like you've improved it, maintained it, and which is stimulating to the city and stimulating to other people living in the neighborhood. So you're leading the way, which we have commended you for. And with that, what you're asking for is not unreasonable, even though its coverages are very high, but that's the natural way you got the property. You can't do much with that, what you have. So again, you're making the best of what you have, within the setbacks, within everything, and you're improving your lot in the city and the neighborhood. I vote yes.
Thank you.
Lorraine Salata?
I'll vote in favor of it. I commend you for the work that you've done on your property. Having an older property, it's been very challenging, I'm sure, and that your willingness to work with the board on your new requests is always appreciated. So I think you'll do a really nice job, and I'm happy that you're just upgrading it all the time.
Thank you.
Dan Smith III.
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. I think it's very efficient, and it's upgraded to a point where it fits all the needs of the applicant and the city. and I think we're in good shape there, and I know he'll do a great job with it.
Mike Gleason?
I'm looking at the back porch, and it's so inviting, it looks like you want to sit out there and just chill, you know, and
great
the
view.
Front, yeah, in the front, you do the same thing in the front, it's going to be awesome. I do it.
That's the plan.
Peter Taco?
I also vote in favor of the application. I think that the front porch addition is going to be a nice addition to the house, really balance it out, and I appreciate the applicant's willingness to work.